titled Christ Our Priest King from Psalm 110. Let us sing all three stanzas of number 303. Scripture reading this evening is from Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we read this evening the first 14 verses of this chapter, the text of this evening's sermon being verses 6 through 11. Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Thus far we read God's holy word. The text of this evening's sermon is verses 6 through 11, these words. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the ascension itself is just as much as any other event of our Lord Jesus Christ's humiliation or exaltation is a cause for commemoration. To remember the glory of God manifested in these particular steps in the humiliation, first of all, of our Lord Jesus Christ, as the glory of God's mercy, but also that glory shown in his exaltation. Each step signifies the glory of God manifested, and the manifestation of that glory bestowed upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ, leading us also to the joy that is ours in every step of this glory. It all stands for and it all serves our salvation. Such must be the link, the bond of faith between us and our Lord Jesus Christ, that his glory in every one of these steps is also our glory. And it is therefore the certainty and the assurance of all our salvation. And therefore it is our privilege this evening with joy to worship our ascended Lord and be reminded in a very powerful way this evening of where he is in the glory and in the blessedness of heaven. But there is at the same time an additional privilege, an additional blessing to our worship this evening. We cannot, following after the Word of God, we cannot remember, we cannot commemorate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ without at the same time exercising ourselves in the hope of his return. Such is the blessed word of Scripture. given as the word of the angels to these disciples, that just as our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, so must he return from heaven, exactly as his disciples saw him go up into heaven. As we remember, as we look back, we must this evening also look forward. And we also have our blessed exercise and hope of our Lord's return for us to know, as well as for us to confess and bear witness of, as the faithful disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we consider then this text under the theme, Jesus' Ascension into Heaven. We see, first of all, the exaltation, secondly, the pledge, and finally, the promise. In Acts chapter 1, in the words of our text, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ is what we can call an object lesson of faith. For the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ is placed by the Holy Spirit in a direct relationship to the question that the disciples asked of Jesus prior to his ascension. Now, there is much that we can say about the disciples when we take a look at the question that they asked. There was a certain idea that was also a certain hope that they had. This hope the disciples had learned to cherish and to nurture even as children, growing up in their parents' homes, children of Israel, children of the people of the Jews. This nation had in its bosom, through the centuries exercised, the hope of the return of its former glory. As they loved and delighted to hear of the glory of the kingdom of Israel under David and under Solomon, as that kingdom was remembered, as it was a cause of joy and happiness, there came along with it the hope for a future kingdom of the Jews. God would once again make his people great. He would once again make them glorious. He would even give to them their own king, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And so as the disciples had this upbringing together with all the other Jews of the nation, they embraced and exercised together this hope of Israel that the kingdom would be restored to them. So they asked. This was their opportunity. They had seen Christ conquer death and the grave. They saw his wonderful, marvelous triumph over his enemies that had conspired to put him to death. They knew his glorious mastery over the forces of the world, the creation and nature. They saw his mastery over the kingdom of Satan, certainly, given this victory. Now must be the time for the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. You see, we cannot merely blame them as flesh and as carnal or as unspiritual. Certainly we have sign and proof here that the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out, and their great need of the Holy Spirit to cause them to think and to know and to understand the scriptures spiritually, as certainly it came about. But what they saw was the Old Testament promises that they interpreted and understood and hoped for according to their nature and character as Old Testament. But we have to, in that light, recognize the answer that Jesus gives to them. Really, Jesus' answer is twofold. It is, first of all, an explanation by means of words. By means of words. First then, by his words, Jesus really removes from the disciples this way of thinking. He removes from them this idea. For he tells them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father hath put in his own power. That is, Jesus makes appeal here to the authority of God. That word power that we have at the end of verse 7 is different than the power that we have in verse 8. That word in verse 8 signifies ability or strength. Can one do something? Yes, he is able. That's the meaning of that word of power. The word power in verse 7 is a word about authority. The Father has his authority to do things his way. He has the authority, the right of his counsel, his ways that are far above our ways, his thoughts that are high above our thoughts. And God will carry out his word. He will perform it, but he has the authority to perform his word according to his good pleasure and not toward our feeble and our weak inclinations. In other words, ear hath not heard, eye hath not seen, neither have it entered into the heart of man to conceive the things that God hath prepared for his people. Is not for you to know. Now, as Jesus Christ, by his word, pulled that one aspect, that one incorrect idea of the kingdom out of their minds, he gave to them a substitute. This, instead, must be their concern. Ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive ability, not authority, but ability. Through the Holy Ghost, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, what is that authority? I'm sorry, what is that power? What is that ability? What is it the disciples will be able to do? This, ye shall be witnesses unto me. There is the power. There is the ability. And we can say there is the might and the strength to be witnesses unto Jesus. And here is, again, just as in Matthew 28, just as in Mark 16, the gospel commission, underscored, emphasized by Jesus Christ so many times as he talked to his disciples. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There is the kingdom. There is the kingdom in that witness, in that testimony. But that is only one half of the teaching. That is only one half of the lesson. The second half of the lesson is the glorious and the marvelous deed of Jesus' own ascension into heaven, which to prefer? Which should be superior? That the disciples should see with their eyes their own idea, their own hope come to fruition. Suddenly, Jesus Christ invested with such a power as to lay all the nations of the world down before him on their knees. Or such a power as to amass to himself an army of the nation of Israel, making each one great, endowing each member with divine strength and power to form a great and mighty army to conquer all the world. Is that better? Is it preferable? Or to see Jesus himself go up into heaven. There is the kingdom. There is the glory. There is the power. With Jesus' ascension into heaven. And this word of God lays stress upon the fact that this was a visual lesson to be learned. Over and over again, this word of God emphasizes the sight of the disciples, what they saw, what they beheld with their eyes. First of all, this, Jesus near to them. Jesus before them as their Lord, their Savior, who had lived among them before, whom they saw crucified on the tree of the cross, whose death they witnessed, who came back to them risen from the dead, who appeared to them many times, who talked to them, spoke to them, taught them over and over again of things concerning the kingdom. They saw him before them, and then as they beheld with their eyes, they saw him taken up from him. Further and further and further. Being able to gauge him being lifted up from the earth, so many feet, so many yards, further and further, until he began to grow smaller, smaller, until finally, as Scripture tells us, a cloud received him, again, out of their sight. No longer to be seen. The only conclusion was this: since he could no longer be seen, he must be in heaven. That cloud having received him into heaven out of their sight. We also have the angels with their testimony and their word. As they spoke according to the truth and reality of what had happened. That truth signified as they saw Jesus go up into heaven. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven. The angels themselves bore witness to the truth of what the disciples had seen. Jesus had indeed, Jesus had truly ascended up into heaven to be there before God. Such is the wonder of the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. A wonder for disciples to behold and see as their Lord, the Lord of the kingdom, the Lord of all glory, was taken up from their eyes. Now the point of this lesson must be very clear to you and me. We might say it would be a token of glory, be the token of the power of the kingdom of God, were Jesus to summon an army, were Jesus to use divine force to conquer the nations of the earth. But then what kind of a kingdom would it be? What kind of a kingdom would it be? A kingdom merely to go around the earth, to circle the globe. There to be great. There to be glorious. And you and I must be able ultimately to say, that is really no glory at all. No glory. That would be but vanity. But to think, here is the king of the kingdom going above, moving above, going to a place that is above all and over all, infinitely superior, to come up to the place where God's throne of glory is, and from that place to rule and reign over all the creation, and in that way to institute, to gather, defend, and preserve no earthly kingdom, but the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Everlasting, imperishable, wonderful, eternal kingdom that must endure forever and forever. Such is what you and I must have and know through the glorious ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, from earth up into heaven, before the eyes of the disciples. In this way, you and I have a confession and a witness to bear in this world of our Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. We must next consider this word of the angels that they spoke to the disciples. Their way is to be the messengers that come from the glory and the blessing of heaven. We might well read this word of God to state that these angels themselves could bear witness to the disciples of what had taken place as they had seen with their eyes. Often we think of Jesus' ascension into heaven from an earthly viewpoint. Here he was with his disciples. They saw him ascend into heaven. At that point, it is very easy for us to lose track, to simply to say, well, he's gone from here, so therefore he must be in heaven. You might think of the viewpoint of these angels as they came to bring disciples the word of God. They came from the place Jesus had ascended to. And that before, as earth had Jesus present upon it, heaven had him not there. He was missing. But then when Jesus ascended into heaven, as earth became empty from that physical bodily presence of Christ, heaven had it. Heaven possessed it. So that these angels might speak very distinctly and clearly to these disciples of what they had witnessed and what they had testified. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, not being taken up, not in the process of going there, but there already, is taken up from you into heaven. He shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. They come with a word of rebuke. A word of rebuke. They come to address the disciples as stupefied and mystified, at a loss for what they were beholding. You might think of this as similar to the words that the angels spoke to the women when they came to the tomb. Why seek ye the living among the dead? The angels simply approached the matter from the viewpoint of the truth. This is the way it is. In doing so, they rebuke and upbraid the real unbelief. They ought to know, they ought to understand what they saw. It is proper, it is right that it should happen this way. There's nothing to be surprised at, nothing to be in awe at. This is simply the transfer of Jesus Christ from earth to heaven. That simplicity must lay upon our minds and impress us. And the way that we might do that is this. What we have our feet upon, what we have all around us, is this earth. Simply there. And we ask, where is heaven compared to the earth? Ask any of the children, where is heaven? They know where to point. They point up. They point up. You might say, well, where is heaven where Jesus is? Is it in the blue sky? You see the moon up there? Is it before the moon? Is it after the moon? Is it above the stars? They might look mystified. When you say, where is heaven? They say, up there. As simply as we might stand with the disciples to see Jesus go up from us into heaven until a cloud should receive him out of sight before our eyes, we must say quite simply, as surely as I saw him go up into heaven, he is in heaven. before God's throne. He is in that place where God's glory shines brilliantly, the place that is the place of our hope. He must be there. And we see that the disciples know the force of this rebuke from verse 12. When following the word of the angels, we have these words, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem." But we look at the word of these angels as a pledge. Their words are really a pledge. And we see the power of their word as a pledge when we understand the reversal that they set before the disciples in verse 11. "The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." As he went into heaven, as you saw him with your eyes go into heaven, so you shall see him return when he comes again. We have a tremendous power stated in connection with these clouds that are mentioned. These clouds we have mentioned in Matthew chapter 26, verse 64, in Jesus' testimony when he was on trial before the high priest. Jesus confessed to the high priest's question these words, "Whether Christ is the Son of God?" Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Young People's Society, we are discussing Revelation chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus' glory is described in this way in his coming again. Revelation 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Now, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 there gives the further identification and meaning of those clouds. Those clouds represent and signify judgment. Judgment. Judgment of thick, dark clouds, the clouds that speak of God's glory and judgment as those clouds stood at Mount Sinai. Those clouds ready to bring forth force and power for the destruction of the ungodly and destruction of the world. With those clouds, Jesus will come to execute judgment in this world. But the point here must be that as the disciples saw Jesus go up from them to be received by the clouds, so shall he come again. We want to see two ways that their words form this kind of pledge, giving certainty. The first is how they identify Jesus in verse 11. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. That is a marvelous thing. The very same Jesus that they knew from his earthly ministry. Crucified, dead, risen. The same Jesus they saw ascended to heaven. He will come back. From so long ago, the same Jesus. As generations and generations of men upon the face of the earth have come and gone. As the nations have risen and fallen, as knowledge has come and gone, as so many things have changed in the world, it is this same Jesus. Howsoever long before the end comes, it will be this same Jesus, the same Jesus who died on the cross to save us from our sins, that same Jesus Christ who loved us unto that death, the same Jesus Christ is coming again. He must certainly come for us. There is also the weight of the manner of Jesus' coming. Secondly, he shall so come in like manner. Now, what must be impressive to the disciples as they saw, they received through their eyes witness and testimony. We bear the fruit of that witness and testimony in God's holy word. They spoke of what they saw. The Holy Spirit saw to it what they saw and recorded was written infallibly. We have its testimony. By faith we believe that testimony. And we know the manner of his ascension. He shall so come in like manner. Just as certainly as the disciples saw with their eyes, so certainly shall the church see with its eyes when Jesus Christ comes again, that truly and that certainly. It is that simple. From earth to heaven, back to the earth again. And that for us. We think of those disciples. They heard, now they saw Jesus ascend into heaven before their eyes. They saw it with their own eyes. With their ears, they heard this word, they heard this testimony of the angels. We read, we have proclaimed to us this evening, and we believe. By faith in the word of God, there we stand with the disciples to see what they saw. By faith, we stand there with the disciples to hear what they heard. And we know our Lord Jesus Christ shall so come in like manner as he went away into heaven. So, we look. So we anticipate. So we hope to see what they saw reversed. To see our Lord Jesus Christ come to us with the clouds from heaven back to this earth. So we have our hope. So we watch. And so we wait. And we wait according to this blessed promise of our Lord's return and the promise that he gave to his church. We go back now to consider the important words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended up into heaven. We want to see the nature and character of the promise that he spoke in verse 4 and 5, the promise that we have repeated for us in verses 7 and 8, specifically in verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we saw earlier on the power that Jesus promised to them was the power of ability, an ability that would be given to them by the Holy Spirit. Now understand that this power and the ability of the Holy Spirit was to give them a proper understanding. So much so that they would be able to simply set aside, simply to let go of the error that they so deeply entertained before. They're of a physical, earthly, fleshly kingdom. But we must also speak of what was to be in its place. What was this great power? What was the Holy Spirit's coming going to give to them? This ability simply to be witnesses, to be witnesses. Power, strength, might, not to do, not to perform, not to act out, but to speak. To declare concerning Christ. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That word in the original Greek is very, very broad. It can mean quite simply possession. It can simply mean in behalf of Jesus Christ, they're going to carry out the work of Christ in his behalf. Or it can simply mean they'll be witnesses about Jesus. They're going to tell all about him. And we must understand that the truth is great concerning this witness, that it really accomplishes all three. But we must say that its real force and its real power is directed in the way of showing Christ, setting him up, explaining him, declaring him, and by the declaration to exalt him as he truly is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, we must understand that this power to witness and testify has everything to do with the ascension of Jesus Christ. Where was Jesus going? Where did he go? Bodily, he went into heaven. What of his witness? What of his testimony? What of his teaching? What of his preaching? What of all that he said? All during his earthly ministry, he spoke. All during his earthly ministry, he taught. He sent out his disciples to teach. He sent them out to preach. But their teaching and preaching was simply to repeat what Jesus had told them before. But they must have this kind of power to witness and testify as representing Jesus Christ, representing him in the midst of the world to speak, so that the words that they spoke would be the testimony of Jesus Christ. So to reveal, so to show forth our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we come to the work of the Church of Jesus Christ. And here is the essence, the heart, the sum of all the work of the church, from which it may not swerve and it must not turn aside from in any respect. Simply this: to witness of Jesus Christ. That is the whole work of the Church of Jesus Christ. To carry out Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They must speak of the things of the kingdom of heaven, the things of the kingdom of God. And this point we can readily see. They were really to take the message of the angels. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So, we follow. This is our place. This is our calling. As those who walk in the same steps, in the same ways as these disciples, to speak. To speak with power, to speak with the boldness of faith, to testify of Jesus. He is in heaven. He is coming again, even as he ascended into heaven. So the church preaches, so the church teaches, so the church confesses with power and strength. It is a wonderful, it is a glorious thing to see that. See it through all the ages of history. Against all the power of the devil to extinguish and stamp out that word. against all the efforts, the labors, the plots, and the plans, not just of the wicked world, but of the false church, to mute, to silence, or put to death that testimony. How has it continued? How has the word of Jesus Christ continued throughout the world, in spite of all that opposition, despite all that persecution? Only because of the power of the Holy Spirit. How has that word come to you and me this evening in this worship service? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you hear that word to believe it and to make it your own confession, your own witness and testimony as members of this church? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So that you may know that though all the force, all the power of the world, the devil, and the false church raise itself and muster itself against you and me to silence our witness and silence our testimony, it cannot. Because our ascended Lord Jesus Christ has kept his promise. He has given to us his Holy Spirit. And so we speak of what we know through faith, to the glory of our God and the glory of his Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. And we thank thee that we might know of the word of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that thou hast given to us that word for us to keep, to cherish, but also to hold up, to hold aloft and abroad. And we thank thee that we might do so, resting upon thy grace and thy Holy Spirit. So we pray, continue to equip us, continue to strengthen us by thy grace and thy Holy Spirit, that we may continue to stand for the cause of thy truth, that may continue to confess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he shall come again to save us unto himself. We pray in the hope of that great day, may we so labor, and may we so confess thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.